Hello, this is Alan Kane. Today you're going to be listening to the sermon entitled, The Resurrection Changes Everything. It's our Resurrection Weekend celebration. I hope you enjoy. Before the sermon begins, let me give you a little background information. I just finished showing a video of a man named Archie Foxworthy, age 94, sharing a poem about why he goes to church. Well, Archie is owner of a maple syrup farm in western Indiana. My family and I met him when we were on vacation the week before Easter. Well, his daughter told me that not only does he take care of maple syrup, but he also writes and recites poems. And if he were to share one with me, I'd want to buy his CD there that has a compilation of his poems, which I thought, yeah, right. Well, I just want to give you that little bit of background information before you hear the sermon. Hope you enjoy it.
One of those surreal moments when, you know, we hadn't planned on this, and before we left there, we were all getting hugged on, and come back and see us. And I told him, I said, Archie, I think I'm going to show this in church Sunday. Really? I said, I got a big screen, and we're going to show everybody. I said, there may be up close to 200 people there on Sunday going to hear your poem. And he was just so excited. Archie says hello, by the way. So, if you're looking for a place to go, go to Turkey Run State Park and ask them where the Foxworthies are and go get some maple syrup and have Archie tell you one of his poems. And she was right. I did buy the CD. He's got some real wisdom on that CD. And if you want to listen to it, I'd be glad to let you listen to it. I don't think you can buy it on iTunes, but... It was a great time. He goes every once in a while. We needed to talk about that a little bit. But he goes every once in a while to hear about the judgment day. The one part of his story that he did not share that is important about judgment day is that Jesus Christ took that judgment for us. The resurrection changes everything. It changes that great white throne moment for us. When we stand before the throne, God will see in us the crown prince of his son, not our sins. Our sins have been transferred to Christ, and he will see us as his only begotten one, and he will love on us and welcome us. And that judgment day is changed because of the resurrection of Christ, not just the death, but the resurrection of Christ. We had Luke 24, 1 through 11, read to us earlier, and so I'm not going to read it again, but they come to the tomb that day. And the ladies, they meet the angel there. And he asks the question, why do you seek the living among the dead? Which is a really good question. And let me change it. Why do you seek life among the things of death? So many of us, and don't you love to hear this when your young kids tell you this? I'm just trying to find myself. I said, you're right there. You don't have to look anymore. You know, I need to find out who I am. I need to find myself. I need to backpack across Europe. That will help. And, I just need to find myself. And he said, and we go looking in this world for that fulfillment, that void that we have. When what really fulfills us is not to go looking in the world for that piece that is missing, but to come to our Creator who made us. He is the piece that will only fit in that void. It is God-shaped and his Son-shaped. And until we find him and his Son, we'll have to backpack across a lot of countries to find ourselves. It is in Christ that we find fulfillment. And he asks the questions, why do you seek the living one among the dead? Or why are you in a cemetery looking for live people? Well, of course, they didn't come looking for live people that morning. But it's a question for us. While you're out in this world, and in thinking in it, you're going to find life when it brings nothing but death. The right job, the right car, the right amount of money, the right bank account, the right friends, thinking somehow that will be it, that we'll find ourselves and be satisfied. I'll save you a lot of trouble right now. This is free. You will never be satisfied with a job or money or cars or title or anything. Break it to you now, save yourself a lot of hassle. You will find fulfillment and satisfaction, will you not, Mike Youngerman, when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he shared some of that this morning. That's when you become full. That is when you become satisfied. That's when you come to peace, is when you find Christ. And the angel asks the question, quit looking for life in the places of death. You need to go find the life giver, Jesus Christ. And so they came, and everyone that morning of his disciples got up with one mindset and went to bed with a different one because they found the resurrected Christ. And the resurrection changes everything. These ladies came to the tomb to put spices on the body of Christ to do just a small act of kindness to the one they loved, but their world was about to change. They would go back and tell the disciples, and their world would start to change, even though they didn't believe it at the moment. But this message of the resurrection is crucial. If Jesus just died and was buried and never rose, our sins would be paid for, but we'd have no hope of ever getting out of the grave. Every time I think of that passage, we shared it a couple weeks ago, where Jesus said that, I will build my church and the gates of death will not prevail against it. This concept that the keys to getting out of the grave were kind of on the inside, and someone had to go in that could come back out. And Jesus went in, and God brought him back out and brought the keys with him. And I always think of the Andy Griffith Show when Otis would come and put himself in jail, right, for being drunk. And in the morning, he'd wake up and then reach to the bars and get the keys and let himself back out. And I thought, don't hang the keys there. You know, that's probably not a good place for keys. And that's kind of what Jesus did. He went into the grave and he came out and he unlocked it forevermore. That through him, we will do the same process. That death cannot keep its prey, as the song we sang today. It cannot keep its prey anymore. And so the resurrection became the paramount message of the disciples. All through the book of Acts, I couldn't read all the verses that talk about the resurrection. But let me just read a few and just listen, please. Acts 4:2, they were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. Acts 4:33, with great power the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. Acts 17:18, they said about Paul, he seems to be advocating foreign gods. They said this because Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. And so the message of Paul was not just Jesus, but Jesus raised. And he said it at the beginning of one of his most powerful books, 1 Corinthians. He said, I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified and the resurrection. And that's his message that we read from 1 Corinthians 15. Acts 17:32, when they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some of them sneered, but others said, we want to hear you again on this subject. Because it changes everything if this is true. Acts 23:6. Then Paul, knowing that some of them were Sadducees and others Pharisees, called out in the Sanhedrin, my brothers, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, and I stand on trial because of my hope in the resurrection of the dead. He said, I am on trial before you because my main message to you is that Jesus is raised. And as he said in his own letter, raised on first fruits. Meaning that it's coming for all of us. The message, the good news of Jesus Christ is not just his death, which is necessary, and not just his burial, which is necessary, but it's also that death could not keep him down. And if we are in him, death cannot keep us down either. Of all those that morning that came to the tomb, Peter was one of those. Of all those who came to the tomb and met Christ, Peter was probably the most profoundly changed in the events that followed. He had the one had denied Christ three times. And I don't know if you noticed it in the reading this morning, but when the angel told the disciple told Mary to go, says, go tell the disciples that he is risen. Go tell the disciples and Peter. As if he wasn't one of them. A profound little statement that we gloss right over. Go tell the disciples and Peter. That he had kind of, maybe in his own mind, pulled himself away, that there's no way I can be bought back. And then he comes and he meets the resurrected Christ, and three times the Lord makes him confirm him as he denied him three times. Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me? And Peter three times said, yes, Lord, you know I love you. He said, then feed my sheep. And told him at what price that would come and mean an early death. Peter, are you willing to do that? And Peter was willing to do that. And so of all the people who were standing there on day three, on that first day of the week, on the morning, and wondering in their mind, is it really true? No, it can't be true. And all our hopes, these 3 years of work are all wasted. Our Messiah is dead. He must not have been the one we thought. And then Mary and the women come running, bursting into the house and telling them, I've just seen Jesus. Our Lord's alive. And it says they had a hard time believing it. And I'm guessing Peter didn't even want to see him. He was afraid to see him. Have you ever done something wrong to somebody and you just avoid them? You don't want to face them? The shame that is in your heart? Maybe you did something wrong and you don't want to tell your parents when you're young? And that shame that comes? Peter was probably doing everything, you know. The angel said, he's going ahead of you to Galilee and he'll show himself to you there. And Peter's like, oh, I can't be in Galilee today. I have an appointment. You know, I got something to do. I bet he was avoiding him. And so of all the people that the resurrection, I think, made the most impact on was Peter. And so I want to take your Bibles and go to his book. Go to the book of 1 Peter with me. This is many years after he had denied Christ and then reconciled with his Lord. And all that junk that he had done, all that in his past was changed by the resurrection. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, starting verse 3. Peter writes these words, blessed be, 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. He talks about a living hope, not just hope, but a living hope, meaning Jesus is alive. And he says that we have this hope, this living hope, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Turn to chapter 3 with me. Romans chapter 3, verse 21. Talking about baptism and people getting out of Egypt and the days of Noah and some of those things, the ark. And he says, corresponding to that, baptism now saves you not from removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is at the right hand of God, having gone into the heaven after angels and authorities and powers have been subjected to him. He said, it's this resurrection that has made all the difference for me. Jesus in the grave, we would have had a whole other story with his disciples than what we have now. And he says, not only did our living hope through the resurrection, he said, but he went to heaven, and after he put angels and authorities and powers, all of them are subjected to him. Romans 1 talks about that, that he was declared the Son of God in power through the resurrection. When he broke out of the grave and death couldn't keep him there and Satan couldn't hold him there, You talk about the disciples having a bad day on Friday while they were watching their son get beaten, the Son of God get beaten. The devil had a real bad day Sunday. Real bad. He thought he had won, and they were rejoicing and partying until that grave started shaking and they heard breath come back into the Son of God. And the words out of his mouth, I'm guessing, were, uh-oh. And God said, how did that work for you? That wasn't Dr. Phil that started that, by the way. How's that working for you? Death, although not done in our world, death as a concept was finished when Jesus came out of the grave. And when he came out of the grave, all powers, including Satan, and the forces at work against us, were all put in subjection to him. Peter talks about the power of the resurrection. If the resurrection changes everything, what does it change? I have a few things I want to share. It changes the way we live and what we'll die for. All 11 of those disciples, Judas went out and killed himself, but the other 11, except for John, were killed for Jesus. You don't do that for a dead man. And I always feel like I need to share this on Resurrection Day. The reason I know that Jesus really is alive. And a lot of us think, you know, how can we really know? We're 2,000 years after. Maybe this is just a good story. There are other historical accounts besides the scripture that recount those disciples being killed for their faith. Now, we got one of two options. Either those disciples stole the body of Christ and hid it themselves and claimed the resurrection and then died for that, or they really saw him and died for that. If you had hidden him and stolen him away and had him buried, as I say, out in your back 40, and they come to kill you because you're proclaiming Christ, you go, oh, wait. I was just kidding. He's out back. The reason you die, these 11, is because you stood face to face with a guy who used to be dead and is now alive. That's why you die. Because you know in him, you will be alive again. That is our hope. I'm, besides what God has done in my life, through history, is proof that these 11 disciples saw the resurrected Lord because they all went to the cross for him or to a death for him. So it changes the way we live and what we'll die for. Another interesting passage, which we won't turn today, in Matthew 27, it's when, did you know there's other resurrections when Jesus was raised? In Matthew 27, 52 and 53, it says an earthquake happened when he died and a lot of the graves were busted open. But after his resurrection, it says many of those came out of the tombs and went into town and appeared to many. Now, if you're the high priest and you hear the body of Jesus is gone, you can spin off one, you know, you can put a spin on that and say, well, they're just hiding, they stole his body. But when there's a dozen, two dozen dead people walking around, you used to be dead people walking around town, especially like as a high priest, maybe you married Bob and then did his funeral, and now Bob's back at your door and going, Bob, what are you doing here? I don't know, I'm with him. And points to Jesus. I don't know, I was back there sleeping, and he woke me up, and I just thought I'd come tell you, it's probably real. And you know what's amazing is you know some of those priests and the Pharisees saw some of those very people they had done the funeral for walking around town. And it's getting harder and harder to spin that story away. And yet they continued to try to deny it. They paid off the soldiers and said, they came back and told them, an angel came, rolled the stone away, and Jesus is alive. Here, we'll pay you money. Tell them they come stole his body. And Jesus was making witness. God was making witness with these other resurrections. Now, those folks died again. They weren't the first fruits of those that slept, but they rose and as a witness and died. So the resurrection changes the way we live and what we're willing to die for. It changes knowing the price that was paid, the way it changes us to love others. When Christ is in us, it changes the way we treat each other. I had one of those moments last night where God was messing with me, in a good way. I had just been a full week, kind of spinning my wheels week, and I wasn't getting everything done. And so I came over about 9 o'clock last night and kind of putting some final touches on things. And I said, well, I really need to just pray. And so I came in here, and this is my favorite spot right here. I knelt here at the front, and I just was going to talk to the Lord and get in the Spirit and let him get me all ready. And it was like I couldn't pray. And I just couldn't, nothing coming out, it wasn't working. And all of a sudden came to mind, if you bring a gift to me or coming to me to worship and you know your brother has something against you, you got to go make that right before you come to me. And I went, and immediately two names came to mind. I said, yes, Lord, I know I need to deal with that. These are people out of town. And I don't have a problem with them, but they feel like I've done something wrong, and I know that, and so there's some issues. And I said, okay, Lord, I'll deal with that. And I kept trying to pray. And it's like I never prayed before. It wouldn't work, couldn't get anywhere. It was like bouncing off the ceiling. And right there, I finally said, fine, I'll go write the letter. And I got up. I got other things to be doing, Lord, but I'll go write the letter. I wasn't quite that sassy, but that's a little, wasn't too far from that. I got up, walked back into my computer right there, and there was a family I've been meaning to write this apology letter to. And so I said, and I couldn't pray. Couldn't get my sermon done. I was working on last night. Couldn't get it done. Couldn't write it. So I thought, come in here and pray. And he says, you got to write that letter first. I don't have time to write the letter first. You hear my word, boy? That's kind of what it was. If you come to me and you know somebody's got something against you, you got to go get that fixed first. And you've been saying for weeks you're going to write that letter. You're not getting anything done, so you get up and write that letter. Fine, I'll go write the letter. It is in my briefcase right now. I wrote it, put it in an envelope with an address, and I'm going to mail it today. And so I came back out here to pray. He said, what about number two? I got things to do, Lord. It is late. I want to get this all done. You're going to talk to them about Jesus changes everything. It needs to start changing you. Fine. Got back up. Went in there, sat down on email, and sent an email out to the other one. Are we done? Yeah, for now. The message started flowing when I dealt with that first. The resurrected Christ changes everything. It should change the way we love and treat each other. I didn't want to write that. Didn't want to do those things. The Lord said, Christ died for you. You can at least write a letter for me. Fine. I try not to be so mean about it, but he was messing with me in a healthy way. The resurrection changes the way we love each other because we see what real love looks like. I didn't want to write a letter. Jesus didn't want to be flailed either, or nailed to a tree either, or struck in the head repeatedly, or spat on, or laughed at and mocked. But he did it for me. The resurrection changes everything when he lives in us. The resurrection changes our stress level. I don't have to worry anymore. I do, but I don't have to. We're good at it. That's what Mike talked about this morning, the peace that comes when we're in a relationship with Christ. Scripture says, don't fear those who can kill you. Well, that's our natural thing, is fear those who can kill you. But he says, don't do it. Because, as a great actor said, you can't bury the truth. Oh, wait, that was Handel. You can't handle the truth. You can't bury the truth. We pop right back up. You can't put us in the ground for long. Because we are in the truth of Jesus Christ, and they put him in the ground, he popped right back up. You can't bury the truth. And so no matter what this world may do to us, or to our families, or to our children, the crucial thing, we must be right with Jesus Christ. We must be in a relationship that is healthy, because no matter what they do, I promise you, as sure as I stand here, God will undo it. Even if they put us in the ground so far down, just like a bobber, we're going to pop right back up when the day is right. We need to take courage in that. The resurrection changes our stress level. It also changes our membership. Colossians says that we have been transferred from the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Our membership changes through the resurrection. We also learn that we have no enemy stronger. We just read in 1 Peter 3:21 that after his resurrection, all powers are subject to him. In other words, there is nothing out there that can come against us that is stronger than the one we serve. Scripture says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The resurrection changes the fact and the fear in us because there is no enemy stronger. It turns our mourning into laughter, Scripture says. I think about those women got up that morning bringing spices to anoint it, and one of the spices they often used was cinnamon. And just the best way they could to put a good smell on a rotting corpse. Let's just say it. And they brought these spices to come in and anoint in a way, just an act of love. And when they got there, they had all these spices and no corpse. You ever wondered, what did they do with the spices? I think Mary Magdalene went back and made cinnamon rolls. I do. The resurrection changes everything. They were coming to anoint a dead body, and they went home and made rebirthday cake or rebirthday cinnamon rolls with it. They didn't need it anymore for the death. The things that we come and we think in life that bring us pain and suffering are the very things that the resurrection can turn around for us and bring laughter where our mourning used to be. Because there is a hope in Christ. The resurrection also changes our responsibility. Paul says, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable worship. Reasonable. To give your bodies as a holy sacrifice to him, meaning that you live right. And so the resurrection changes our responsibility. And it also changes our density. Oh, wait, no, that's destiny. I've changed my own density. He changes our destiny. As old Archie Foxworthy said, there is a day when we will stand before the throne of God. But because of the resurrection, our destiny can be changed. As I said, he will see the crown prince of his son in us and not ourselves. It's because we've been in the show, Life Swap. Not Wife Swap, but Life Swap. Where we swap our life with the love, that of Jesus Christ. He literally took our junk and gave us his righteousness. And because of that, our destiny is changed. If we know him. And the last thing that the resurrection changes is that there's nothing at all in our past that is beyond his grace. Do you think God sat on his hands while they were beating his boy to only pay for part of your sins? You know, it goes beyond me how God could have let them have their way with Jesus like that. When he could have went like that and they would have all been gone. He literally, in my mind, sat on his hands and wept as they watched him beating his boy to death. So that you can be set free from the junk. If you are here today and can hear the voice of God, hear this. Not that I'm him, but from his word. If we confess our sins, he is able and just and will forgive our sins. Or what's going on in your life right now, it can be undone. Because resurrection changed everything. I'm going to offer you a life swap this morning. If you're ready for a change, man, do I have some good news for you today. He wants to come into your life and change everything.
You've been listening to The Resurrection Changes Everything, a ministry of the Lawrenceville Church of God, Springfield, Ohio.